I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. I call this message, the title of the message, From Nothing to Everything. From Nothing to Everything. While you're finding Ezekiel 16, let me make a couple of comments. The great and powerful and glorious nation of Israel that rose to such splendor and such glory and beauty in the days of David, no nation on earth quite like Israel in the days of David and Solomon. A glorious nation, a splendid nation, a powerful nation. It's like the Queen of the South said, the half has never been told. But that nation, by the power and grace of God, started with one man. One lone man. And the thing about this man is he didn't know God. He was older than I am, in his 70s, and he didn't know God. And he lived in a land of pagan, heathen idolatry. Did you know that? His name was Abram. Abram and his fathers worshipped strange gods on the other side of the flood, idolaters. This man was, he was married, but he was over 70, and his wife was over 70, past the age of bearing children, and he didn't have any children. He was an idolater. He didn't have any children, didn't have any seed. And God called him, and that's the beginning of Israel, from nothing to all the glory and splendor and power and magnificence and beauty in the days of David and Solomon. And the nations of the earth stood still and wondered at how such a humble, poor beginning from nothing could come to such riches and wealth and powerful nation as Israel was. But I tell you this, two things about it. Number one, it was by the power of God. It was not by their power. It was by the power of God. You hold that chapter there, and let me read you something God said about them over here in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. But the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people on the face of the earth. But the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath that he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. That's it. And then the second thing is this. The Lord took Jeremiah down to the Potter's house. Let me read you that. Don't turn to it. Let me just read it quickly. Turn to it for you in Jeremiah chapter 18. The Lord took his prophet down to the potter's house, and he said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words. I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Israel rose from nothing to everything, from one lone pagan, heathen, whom God called, to a nation of splendor and power and beauty, but by his choice and by his power. And this is evident This is evident that everything they had was by the grace and power of God. This is evident when we see it taken away when they departed from the living God. When Israel departed from Him, the blessings were gone. But our chief business this morning is not with Israel. I didn't come to tell you about Israel. Our chief business this morning is ourselves and how this scripture relates to us. Spiritual Israel. You see, everything God did to and in and through national Israel is a picture and a type of God's dealings with you and me. So let's turn, if you will, to Ezekiel 16. Let me read this. Just going to read 14 verses and then point out some things for you. In Ezekiel 16, you see the scripture is bifocal. There's the first primary meaning. Get this now. And you'll see this in the first two or three verses. But as the scripture deals with this primary purpose, it also deals with other blessings of God and work of God toward us. You see, the Passover, Israel killed the lamb, put the blood on the door, but Paul said, our Passover is Christ sacrificed for us. So it deals with them, but it points to us. When the rock was smitten in the wilderness, it gave Israel water, but it points to Christ, our rock, smitten, who gives us water and blood, justification, sanctification. All right, watch this now. So the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Your beginning, your birth, and nativity is of the land of Canaan. Cursed be Canaan, under a curse, judgment. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. That's the way you started. And as for your nativity, in the day you were born, your navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but you were cast out into the open field to the loathing of your person. In the day that you were born. And when I passed by thee, and I saw thee polluted, trodden underfoot in your own blood, I said to thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said to thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. I decked, that word is adorn, A-D-O-R-E, and I adorned thee with also with ornaments. I put bracelets on your hands and a chain on your neck. I put a jewel on your forehead and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And your renown went forth among the heathen. Isn't that what I said? Nations were astounded. The half has never been told. And your beauty, your renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty. And it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. You see, Israel, that's Israel. But that's us too. That's spiritual Israel. Everybody here who knows Christ, who loves Christ, who's going to be one day in the very image of Christ, your stove is right here. Right here. Now, three things. Number one, what we were. What we were. I'm told, I can't verify this, but I'm told that back here among some of these heathen nations, when a baby was born and it was deformed or had some problem or unwanted on their journeys and so forth or wherever they were, they just threw it out in the field. They just took the baby when it was born. They didn't wash it or salt it or swaddle it or do anything for it. Just threw it out in the field, matted in blood, and left it there for the animals to eat or the birds, the fowls of the air, for whatever. Just left it there to perish. And this is the story. This is our beginning. We were born in sin. We were born of sinful parents. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. We're born in sin. We didn't come into this world as those who might stand or fall. We came into this world fallen. Scripture says, in sin my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity, as brought forth speaking lies. The wicked are strained from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born. That's the way we were born. Total depravity. You know, when you see this baby lying out here in the field, you want a picture? I'm supposed to go down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and preach in a couple of weeks. There's a pastor down there who's preaching grace. Your pastor may have told you about him. But he's been preaching the grace of God for several months. He came out of a denomination. And I'm going down to preach for him. And I heard from another pastor down there. And he said, I'm coming to hear you and bring my whole congregation to hear you. He said, I'm a Southern Baptist, but I'm trying to preach grace, and we're coming up there to hear you. And he said, I'm coming on a Thursday night. If you don't mind, would you preach on total depravity? My folks need to learn that. Well, let me tell you something. Here's total depravity. Here's a baby born, brought into the world, cast out in the field. There's nothing that baby can do but cry. He can't help himself, cleanse himself, wash himself, walk. There's nothing in this world as totally, completely helpless as the little baby in that condition. Isn't that right? And that's the state in which we're born, spiritually dead, unwanted, unwashed, unclean, polluted in our blood, in an open field, left to all the dangers about us. That's right. No outside help. He said here, verse 5, none I pitied thee to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. You were cast out into the open field to the very loathing of your person in the very day you were born. The law condemns me. Holiness is offended by me. Justice bears its sword. The birds fly around waiting to devour. The beasts begin to creep around and smell that smell. Truth will soon testify against me. What a loathsome sight. Isaiah described it. He said, from the sole of your feet to the top of your heads, you're nothing but open running sores that have not been mollified, neither cleaned up. Sinful all the way. If there's any help, it'll have to come from him. If there's any help, it'll come from him. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. And that's what we are by nature, by birth. That's total depravity. Total inability. Well, let's see. That's what we were. Now, verse 6. Let's see what God did. And he said, I pass by thee. I pass by thee. He came where we are. We didn't turn our eye to him. We couldn't see. We didn't cry for help. We didn't know what we needed. The baby, that baby doesn't have any understanding of what it needs. We didn't cry. He said, I passed by you. I passed by you. When did he pass by us? Well, back yonder in the everlasting council halls of eternity, he thought on you. He thought on me. Before we were born. That's what Paul said to the Ephesian church. He said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He passed by us. We're back yonder before the world began in his covenant mercies. 'Tis not that I did choose thee. Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but you chose. I came by. You see, before God comes by anywhere, he purposes to come by. We go by places accidentally. He goes by on purpose. That's right. Everything he does on purpose. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Have not I purposed this? Shall I not I do it? So he pissed it. I passed by you. I passed by you. Long years ago I came by you. And then he passed by us secondly when he came into this world. You see, he left heaven's glory. He came down here on purpose to save us. He said, the angel said to Joseph, call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. That's why he came. He came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He came to seek lost sheep. I passed by you. He said, I passed by you back in the council halls of eternity. I passed by you when my son came into this world. And one day I passed by you by my spirit, by my word preached to you. I came where you are. You think it's an accident that woman came to the well that morning when Christ was sitting on that well? He didn't sit on that well ever again. Never again. He came that well one time. She came. You think it was an accident that Lydia met Paul down there by the river? He didn't go down there by that river every day. That's the first time he went there and the last time he went there in Philippi. You think it's an accident old Zacchaeus was up that tree that day when Christ passed under? That's the only time he ever passed on that tree. And I'm telling you this, everything my God does, he said, I passed by you. I came your way. I came your way. Oh, I remember. I was pastor of a little church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 24 years old. Didn't know the gospel from a hole in a donut. And you know this pastor up in Kentucky invited me to come up there and be his assistant pastor. And I resigned my church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and was going up there to be his assistant. People asked me, said, what on earth are you doing? I don't know. I just feel led to go that way. You're going to be an assistant to a fellow, and you got a church down here, your pastor. You're moving back up out of that cold country, out of the good old deep south, down here in Chattanooga. Up at those Yankees, you know. I don't know why. I know why now. I walked in that church the first day I was there. And there was a man in the pulpit holding a meeting called Ralph Barnard. And he preached the gospel. And me sitting right down on that front row was a young assistant pastor. Wasn't dry behind the ears. Didn't know anything about the gospel. God crossed my path. He said, I passed by you, polluted. I passed by you, listen. When you were polluted in your blood, that's just like you were. I saw you, polluted in your blood. You didn't see me, I saw you. I don't have to see him at that time. He has to see me, come where I am. I saw you, polluted, I saw you just like you were. And loves you anyway. God committed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, trespasses and sin, he raised us with Christ. Oh, I love that picture there. I passed by you. I saw you. What a sight. What a sight. Look, boy, that would turn us away, wouldn't it? That baby, crusted blood, unwashed, unwanted, uncared for, dying or dead. I saw you, and I said something. Lord, you say, Lord, I said unto you, remember this, don't you forget. It wasn't when you were seeking me. I said to you when you were in your blood. I said to you when you were polluted. I said to you when you didn't say anything to me. I said to you, live. Live. That's the first thing. Live. A man's not going to hear till he lives. A man's not going to see till he lives. A man's not going to look to God till he lives. I said, live. Live. And let me remind you, I said to you when you were in your blood. He keeps saying that. I said to you, live. I said, live. The Son quickeneth whom he will. As our sovereign Lord stood that day by the grave of Lazarus. Lazarus dead. 4 days dead. His sister said, don't move that stone. He stinketh. Our Lord stood in front of that grave and he said, Lazarus, live. Live. And brethren, I'm telling you, that's what you and I have got to pray for our friends, that God will say, live. Through this preached word. You see, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of power and the Word is the seed of life. He hath, according to his own will, by his own will, he hath made us to live by his word. That's what he said. By his will, we live by his word. And I cause thee, verse 7, to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou come to excellent ornaments. Thy breast of fashion. Thy hair is grown where were you were naked and bare. I've made something beautiful out of you. Can you imagine? From that crusted, polluted, nothing. Here stands a beautiful woman. Beautiful, made beautiful by God. I did that. I passed by you. I said, live. Death gives way to life. Inability gives way to strength. Darkness becomes light. Mourning becomes joy. Enemies flee away. All the enemies flee away. All those birds and beasts waiting to devour that baby flee away. She's a beautiful queen. And then he says in verse 8, I'm going to tell you what you are now. Now, when I passed by you, that's what we were. This is what God did. Now, look at verse 8. And I passed by you, and I looked upon you, and behold, the time, thy time was a time of love. My friends, we don't love him. He loved us. We love him because he loved us. Herein is love. Not that we love God. He loved us. His love is first. We love him because he loved us. Now watch this. And I spread my skirt over you, and covered your nakedness. I covered your nakedness. That's his righteousness, his holiness. You know, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. I'm sure you've seen this before, but let's look at it again. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah. The hymn writer said, with his spotless garments on, with his garments on, we're as holy as his son. But his righteousness is our righteousness, and our righteousness is his righteousness. It's not ours, it's his. And here in Jeremiah 23, verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, a holy, righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, and in his days Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. That's spiritual Israel now. That's king priest, Judah, king priest. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He said, I spread my skirt over you. I covered your nakedness. Now, wait a minute. Turn to Jeremiah 33. Now, you can remember that's found in Jeremiah 23. His name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the righteous branch, the name of our King, the name of our Redeemer, is the Lord our righteousness. But you know what? That's your name, too, now. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 16. It says almost the same thing. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. I spread my skirt over you. I covered you with my robe of righteousness. Oh. And look back at the text, Ezekiel 16, verse 8. And I swear unto thee, and entered a covenant with thee, said the Lord God, you became mine. You know the most foolish arguments and debates and discussions that a man can engage in this day is whether a saved man can be lost. That is utter stupidity. Now, a religious man can be lost. A false professor can be lost. But he said, I said, live. I entered a covenant with you. You became mine. You're mine. You're mine. Your pastor is my son. I'm his father. That'll never change. Nothing will change that. You're God's child. He's your father. Nothing will ever change that. I entered a covenant with you. And God said, I swear by myself. I can't swear by any greater. That's what I told Abraham. Abraham, I can't swear by any greater. I swear by myself. You're mine. You're mine. You know, if he saw me polluted like that, what would ever change his mind? I can't look any worse now than I did then. If he loved me before I was born, why would he stop loving me after I was born? He knows what I am. He remembers my frame. He knows I'm dust. What else did he do? I washed you, verse 9. I washed you with water. I thoroughly washed away your blood and anointed you with oil. I washed you with water and blood. Listen to Augustus Toplady. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin double cure. Justify me and sanctify me. Double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. We're sanctified by his blood, by his cross, and we're sanctified by his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So we're cleansed twofold, by the blood and by the water. By the blood and by the Spirit. There are three that bear record on earth. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. That's right. I washed you. I thoroughly washed away your blood. I anointed you with the Holy Spirit, with oil. Listen. I clothed you with broidered work. What is this broidered work? Well, this was the work wrought by the skilled needles of the Jewish women. Oh, in the tabernacle they had these veils and tapestry. And these women sat with their needles and the purple and the red and the blue and the white linen. And they embroidered it. And this is the graces and fruits of God's Spirit, which he gives you. He gives you love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and kindness. And that's that broidered work. You look at that broidered work, you know, and it's just beautiful. And you look at a believer as he grows in grace and the knowledge of Christ, and it's beautiful, the grace of God manifested in his life. That's right. Beautiful. He said, and I shod you with badger skin. Badger skin is what they made the tabernacle out of. It's the toughest and the softest and the most durable of the skin. And when we get shod, when he shods these feet of mine that must walk through this world, there are a lot of stones, aren't there? There are a lot of thorns. There are a lot of briars. There are a lot of rough places. But he shods me with badger skin. It's durable. It'll last. His grace is sufficient. And you know something? It's soft. That's right. It's soft. I don't know how unbelievers cope with trouble and heartache. I don't know how. I don't guess they do. But a believer, as he walks, he expects tribulation. He expects trial. He expects these things. That's kind of par for the course. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But I tell you, his grace makes it all right, doesn't it? It'll be all right. I shod you with badger skin. I girded you with fine linen. You know, who wore the fine linen? That priest didn't. He went in the Holy of Holies. White, fine linen, holiness. I clothed you with my holiness. I covered you with silk. Who wears silk? Our Lord said you find silk in king's houses. That's right, we're royal. We're royal priesthood. We're king priest. He's made us kings and priests to our God. We'll reign with him forever. I'm a king priest. I wear the white linen, and I wear the silk. Not only that, but watch this now.